Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and today we're going to be expanding on the basics again. You've all listened to episode 2, where we talk about free stacking. Well, we're going to go back and we're going to pick up some of those basics, and we're going to talk about them a little more in depth. All right, so three things that we're going to cover here today: the basic law that opposites attract, dancing, and focus. And we're going to apply all of these things to how you work with your dog. All right, so opposites attract. Basically, what I mean when I say this is that the idea that dogs are going to push when you pull and pull when you push and go backwards when you go forwards and go backwards when you go forward when you go backward, etc. Okay? If the dog is running away, you don't chase it. You stop and wait for it to come to you. All of these things fall under the category of opposites attract. All right? So when you're free stacking your dog, we talked a little bit about how you work with that dog without even using a leash. Backing the dog up by walking into it, walking him forward by backing away. We're going to keep using that same concept here when we're dealing with issues, whether it's like the one that came up at a handling clinic that we just had a couple of weeks ago. The gal would try to free stack the dog and it would just back up at the end of the leash and stare at her and say, I don't want to. And I said, okay, well, let's try this. Let's do the opposite. And I had her turn away from the dog, just turn her back on the dog, and lo and behold, that dog ran around to the front of her and said, hey, what do you want? What's going on? How come you turned your back on me? Wait, what? And that happens. Dogs want us to focus on them, and they'll offer up whatever behavior they think is going to get what they want, which is for us to focus on them and pay attention. So if you're not getting the desired result from one method of training, try a different one. In this case, turn your back on the dog, dog runs around to look at you. You've achieved what you've wanted, and the dog's achieved, frankly, what he wanted, which is for you to pay attention to him. So sometimes we have to be smarter than our dogs, which in many cases can be a little challenging. So again, while you're working on your free stack and the idea of backing your dog up, I love to use this method to get the dog's rear feet planted. Okay? So in order to get your dog to meet the picture that you want it to make, right, to be competitive, to be successful, your dog needs to make that picture. So I personally start with teaching the dog to back up into a proper rear stance. I want his back legs to be even. I want them to be slightly behind his hips. Again, depending on your breed appropriate stacking, this is a pretty common stance, but know what's important for your breed. Back him up into where their rear legs are supposed to be. And that's a yay, good dog. And you just practice the backing up, backing up, backing up, backing up until they're setting their rear where you want it to be and where it needs to be to make the picture that you're looking for. And then you're going to walk away from them. Now, your goal here is to only walk the front feet of the dog forward. So the rear feet, we're hoping, are going to stay where they are. By this point, I've put a leash on the dog because we've advanced past the super beginning level of just having them learn how to move their body with us. But I'm going to ask them to move their front feet forward. And I'm going to use the leash maybe to kind of shift them a little bit off their weight, off of one foot or the other, to ask them to move it. I'm going to move my body to the side, one side or the other, that will help them understand that we want them to walk forward. And this is where I find that generous use of bait is useful here. Again, we're not shoving it in their mouth any more than we are when we're teaching them a hand stack. But if they move their foot in the proper way, you give them a cookie. It's basic operant conditioning. Pavlov figured this out a long time ago. We're just building on what they already know. They do what we want them to do, and we give them a cookie. And hopefully they think it's their idea, so it's fun. And we want to make sure, again, like I mentioned in episode 2,
really important that this is the fun part, because a dog's confidence comes from us, comes from thinking they're having a good time, and a dog that's confident standing up over itself is a really pretty picture. So we're going to work with that opposites attract concept until you've got the rear feet set and the front feet coming under where they're supposed to be. Not that the dog's too far forward or too far under, but really getting that dog in a proper position. Remember I mentioned we're dancing. We're dancing with our dogs. Dancing with the Stars is the most popular thing in the world. Everybody's favorite movie is Dirty Dancing. Hey, do you remember when Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze, and he's trying to teach her the dance moves, and he's talking about this is my space, this is your space, and look here, look in my eyes, watch my eyes. All of those things are the same exact thing that we're going to use when we teach our dog to freestack. We're dancing with them. We're just teaching them the dance moves. The other thing that you need to remember when you're dancing with your dog is, what are you doing with your hands? We're going to have figured that our dog is dancing well with us. He's putting their feet in the right place, hasn't stepped on our toes in a while. He knows that I'm going to lead the dance. What are you doing with your hands? Hey, are they just doing this whole dead fish thing? That right hand, particularly. Your left hand, what are they doing? The left hand is on the leash, and you're using that, maybe twitching it just a little bit, to give the dog an added guidance or a little added direction. Your right hand should have either the food or the toy or the whatever your dog's personal motivational item is. So that right hand, it can't just dangle there limply. All of the picture, right? All of the package that you're presenting to the judge has to be one whole. And it has to be that beautiful presentation. It's very important, your body language. That judge asks you to go around to the end of the line and showcase your dog. So you trot around to the end of the line and you stand there with your shoulders slumped and your head bowed. And what does that body language picture say to the judge? And what does it say to your dog? I promise you, your dog is going to mimic that image. And what the judge is going to see is going to be less attractive, less eye-catching, more willing to accept second. Right? Very important. We are selling this package. We are selling this picture. So our body language is a big piece of that. Shoulders back, tummy in, head up. And you've got your left hand gently tapping the dog on the leash if need be. You've got your right hand with a little cookie or a treat, as I said, whatever the reward is for your dog. And that right hand should be high enough in the air that the dog knows where it is, and it's setting the dog's head to the proper level. That's the other part of this picture that you need to keep in mind. You're setting everything about what you do with your body is setting that dog up to mimic the right image. So if we want that dog to have his head out and forward and neck arched, you're going to use your arm to describe that basic picture. You're going to take your right hand with the food in it, and you're going to make a little curve. The dog's going to follow that with his head and his eyes, and it's going to be reflected in his neck set. And boom, you've done what you want to do with that picture. That applies to every single breed that you show. You need to know what the picture is. Whatever dog you're working with, you need to have in your mind's eye what that dog should look like, and then you need to use your body language and gentle dance steps. All of you, your hands, your shoulders, your feet, everything is projecting that image. So when you do the dance steps, as Patrick Swayze said, focus. Focus is the most important part. Watch the dog's eyes. That connection that you make when you look in your dog's eyes, in my setup, we call that Zen mode. Okay? Go inside your head. Just look at the dog's eyes. Make that connection. When you do that, you can keep the dog focused on you and you on the dog, and you will build that picture. But you have to have started with the watch me command. You have to have laid this whole foundation. This is why I say we're expanding on the basics. So watch the dog, watch the dog's eyes. Make sure that the dog is focused on you. Don't look away, whatever you do. Okay? So now you've got this picture, and you've made a show and you've described to the judge without saying a word what you want him to see. So when you do your show, make sure it's not too much. We don't want this to be a juggling act, okay, right? We want this to be understated, classy, elegant. Everything about the whole posture should convey strength, confidence, and quiet focus. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We've covered the training aspect of opposites attract, moving your dog backwards, forwards, even sideways with shifts of your body weight. Eventually, the big steps that you take forward and backward will come down into smaller, more gentle movements. You'll be able to move that dog just with a shift of your weight or a gentle lean of your shoulder. That's a training component. The dancing and the focus that comes with dancing with your dog and thinking of your freestack as your individual exercise, okay, in the Olympics. Here it is. This is your moment in the spotlight. Make it shine, but keep the theatrics to a minimum. We want to make sure that we're presenting a beautiful, polished image, and we should save flinging a pocket full of bait and the whole drama, for lack of a better term. We should save that for the real Olympics. Let's make sure that in the dog show ring, we are courteous with our performance. As a side note, if you do need to toss a little piece of bait to catch your dog's attention and get it looking in the proper direction, I don't mind that if you do it in a couple different ways, okay? Number one, don't throw your bait in front of another dog, ever. It's unkind, it's rude, even if it's an accident, it's awful. I one time had a dog bounce the bait off his nose into the middle of the path of the dog moving down and back at the garden, okay? I speak from experience here. Be careful with your throwing of bait. Very important that you pick it up afterwards. That's just plain simple courtesy, all right? We don't want to distract the other dogs. We don't want to make anybody else's performance less by making ours better. And that is a basic tenet of sportsmanship. So be sure that if you do need to use a small piece of bait and that it goes on the floor, that you, by golly, pick it up again, okay? Very important stuff. And the focus piece, which is probably more than anything else the most important, and this is one that's a little bit hard to describe, but I mentioned earlier the idea of Zen mode and going inside your head. So I'm going to talk about that just a little bit more because it sounds weird, but it really does work. And the only thing I can suggest is that you practice at home and your dog knows the watch me command. We've already taught that from earlier episodes. And you're going to tell it, watch me. And you are going to concentrate on nothing but looking straight into the dog's eyes. And it's almost an auto-hypnosis. And that's what I mean when I say this Zen mode, the go inside your head. And I promise you, this is not a Froobie Art Major thing. It really does work. Getting that level of focus, getting the connection that comes with making that strong visual interaction with the dog will help you keep the focus you need, keep the dog on its toes and interested in what you're doing, keep the dog from being concerned about outside clanging and banging, outside busyness, whatever it is. So that focus is a huge part of your tango with the dog. So that is what I'd like to have you practice for this expanding on the basics concept, all right? So there you go. We're expanding on the basics that we set up earlier. Next episode, we're going to be talking about expanding on the basics of movement with your dog. But for right now, today, what I want you to work on is making sure that you've got your dance steps down, you've got your eye contact down, and that you are as best you can make yourself and your dog the human canine team to match Jennifer Gray and Patrick Swayze. There's your goal. Everybody have a great day. We'll catch you on the flip side.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to Laura at puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.